Praise God. How's this going here? How we doing, Ward? That's good. Yeah. Yeah, all over the world. Think about people in church. You know, don't think about all those multitudes that aren't there yet, but there's people all over the world worshiping this morning in different time zones, and praise God.
Hallelujah.
But anyway, Pastor, I appreciate the privilege of doing this, and I don't take it lightly. And, you know, I had such a good time preparing here, and you want to articulate to get it out. But I'm not going to take the attention of that because you guys are friendly. And anyway. So anyway, last week we talked about, of course, reward, and a lot of it had to do with motivation of the heart. You know, we mentioned in Matthew 6 about the hypocrites doing things to be seen, and something that really blessed me, like, you know, the one guy on the street saying, "What's that horn?" You know, and I'm meditating, I was thinking about this, and the other guy said, "Oh, that's that hypocrite, that Pharisee just giving somebody something." And I said, "Oh," he says, "That's his reward. That's it. That's all he gets, just a fleeting." Somebody said, "Oh, that's okay." Well, they never thought about it again. So anyway, this week we're going to be talking more, same on reward, but more on, Pastor touched on it, we touched on it last week, equal and fair. Equal is not always fair. And we're going to put some word behind that and encourage ourselves with that. We talked about highest and best use last week. I mean, I'm an appraiser. That's a key thing. If you're in court, if you can knock out the other guys, and I don't do that anymore, but if you can knock out the highest and best use of the other side, you got them. You know, so if you can prove that. But so what I thought, maybe, not maybe, but I want to pray a prayer, and if you guys want to follow me in it, concerning highest and best use, ask God to grace us with His wisdom on getting us into that. And then, you know, in a short period of time here, He'll your corresponding action, we're putting our faith to this, He'll come and He'll talk to you. And I'm not saying today, but it could be today or in the next few days, weeks, He'll say, "That's not a good use of your time." Or, "That is a good use. Yeah, follow that." Or, "That door's really, you're having a hammer against it, but keep going because that's a good use of your time." He'll speak to you on these things. So, if you want to join me in this, you want to stand up a minute, just do that. A little exercise in the morning. So, just pray this after me. Father God, You told us to redeem the time. And so we're asking You for Your help. Help us to be aware of how short time is. And help us not to waste it. Give us wisdom. Awareness. Understanding. Of the opportunities that we have presented before us in this age. And quicken us. Show us how to use the remaining time. For Your highest and best use. And we believe we receive it. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Now you may stay standing also. No, sit down. So I'm going to start out with the foundational scripture again that we did last week in Romans 11. And I told Pastor 17 to 18. I'm going to interject 16 here, just our basis. And the 24 elders, which sat up before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give You thanks, O Lord God Almighty." I think that's Yod Heh Vav Heh. Anyway, that's not the teaching, but which was and which is to come, because You have taken Your great power and have reigned, and the nations were angry. Imagine that. The wrath has come. What did I say? Oh, Romans, yeah. Hey, I start with an R. Okay, sorry. I was talking about somebody on the way in, a minister couple we know, and I used the wrong name of the wife, and she's there wondering, what am I talking about? It's all right, now I'm going to get in sync here. Forgive me for that. Revelations chapter 11. Thanks, dear. So anyway, the nations were angry. The wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that You should give reward. We're talking about reward. And who? Unto Your servants, the prophets, to the saints. And we are the saints. And to them that fear Thy name, small and great. So, you know, this is a glimpse into the future. God gave this to the Apostle John. And he wrote it down so we could know some things. And, you know, this is not just like, oh, that's nice, let's read this again once a year. But no, we're going to see this.
Amen.
This is coming in future. We'll see it. The nation is going to be judged. And we'll have these rewards given to us. So let's go then to Romans chapter 22, the other foundational scripture I was using. And I typed these in my notes here. Romans again, did I say it again? Let's go to, no. All right. Revelation chapter 22. All right, now that I have your attention. Yeah, I know. I did have something in there about Romans. So if I say Philippians, I mean Proverbs. This is code. Oh gosh, that's a great way to start. All right, settle down. All right, Revelation 22, and what did I say? Verse 11. Again, in our future, and behold, I come quickly. Now we talked about this last week, where you know scoffers saying, "Ah, it's been 2,000 years and hundreds of years they've been talking about this, and he hasn't come." And I told you about a guy that I know talked to me about this, and he's a real professional, uppity guy. And I said, "Well, you're biblical. The Bible said there'd be scoffers." And the main thing there is, we got to realize in 2 Peter 3:8, he said he's coming quickly. 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." So in 2 days, if somebody said to you, "I'm going away on a trip, I'll be back in 2 days," that's quick. That's not putting a trip on. It's like, oh man, how long is this going to be? Look at the excitement of our times. So we can be excited if he's coming back in however many years, or somebody told me they're talking about him coming back on September 23rd, which is Rosh Hashanah, and I personally believe that will be a chance he'd come back, but not this year. I'm not saying that. So I said to this person, "Well, if they're setting a date, you know."
Yeah.
But I didn't see that, but she said it's all over the internet. Now, I don't know.
But
so just be ready all the time. So he said, "I'm coming quickly." So don't let the scoffers bug you like, "Yeah, I've been saying that for years." I was out on a, before I did lending, before I did appraising, and I was out on a farm. The guy wanted to build a chicken house. The chicken house company's there with all their data and fluff. And somehow this came up. He said, "Oh, it's like that guy coming back, the guy upstairs coming back. It ain't happening." I was just a fairly new Christian, but knew this. And this, I almost, my mouth, I think, dropped. I thought, "What? I can't believe you're telling me this." And, but then I realized in my young, immaturity Christian stage, people do actually think this way, that, he hadn't come, so, yeah. So, yeah, that's exactly right. They're living like it. So, by the way, this guy that did tell me about this, and I said, "You're a scoffer." We talk and we can go back and forth. And he had a very serious operation. And, you know, I said, "You think about things?" And, you know, we can talk to him about stuff. But anyway, yeah, they live like it's a party forever. So when he says quickly, and he says, "My reward is with me." Now this should excite us, you know. He's coming back with a reward. He's, you know, his pastor went on a vacation. And he said, "I'm bringing you all lobsters when I come back." No, he didn't say that. But, you know, if somebody says that, you should get excited. You should be expecting if they're telling the truth. And I believe he is. We can depend on him. And then, what's this based on? It says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." So, I mean, your work is not the same as my work, same as the other person's work. We're all about the Father's business. That phrase kept coming to me. That's not in Romans, but it kept coming to me as I'm preparing here. Be about the Father's business. You know, this is God and family, God and sons and daughters. So, anyway, and like Pastor said, I mentioned this last week, our righteousness is not based on our works, but our reward is. Our works are based on our performance. And so, you know, it's what we do in this life. And we have this period of time. And even if you're in your teens or 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s or what have you, you got to realize things go by quickly. And like I said last week, I turned 73, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to sit down. I don't want to be bored. And God keeps giving things to do. And, you know, we're not quitting. So just the thing is, think about this. I'm getting ahead of myself, but think about the reward in the ages to come when we have a glorified body. We're going to have eternal reward with an eternal body. We're not going to be tired. We're not going to be worn out. We're going to be go. I mean, no, and they're strumming a harp, or yeah. So we're born again people. You know, I could be born again people. You could kick back and think, oh well, I've done my tour. I'm just going to kick back and relax, and you can do that, get to heaven. But you know, why bother? You know, you're missing reward. You know, if you have something out there, I want to spend every second I can moving, and this isn't just go do any old thing. I'm talking about doing what you're called to do. But also what Pastor's talking about, somebody baking a loaf of bread, going to your neighbor, giving them something, just kindness like that. That you get reward for that. You don't have to be told. That's a good point. You don't have to be told to do these things. There's some people that operate in hospitality. So I'm going to give you a scripture. I have it in my notes. You can turn if you want, but I'm just going there briefly. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So, you know, getting rich should not be our main goal. There's some people just going after the things. What we as a church want to do is go after the thing that gets you the things you want. Right. Think about Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, these people, it says they'll be pierced through with many sorrows just going after the riches. So yeah, that's kind of a side note there. So a wise person will pursue the things that get them the things they want. And one of the biggest things we want after this life, in the next life, is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant or son, daughter. Well, you know, you want to hear that. And so the faithful man shall abound in blessings. It doesn't say, I mean, do you think an unfaithful man or woman is going to abound with the same blessing? The pastor kind of alluded to this. Well, it's the same with reward. So, you know, there's this thing right now, well, it's been all around all the time, pastor touched on it, socialism, communism, it's godless. You know, the fact that, you know, we got to be this big elite, we'll collect the money, we'll distribute it so everybody's equal. You know, the only one that gets anywhere with that is the ones that are elite, and they end up, you know, not lasting forever either. So it's the same with rewards. You know, it's not going to be equal. Somebody that's faithful, somebody that does what they're supposed to do with the right heart and the right motive is going to get more reward than somebody that's maybe kicked back and just going to let it go now until he gets out of here. You know, they're not going to get the same reward. Sounds logical, but we want to keep this in our thinking. A lot of people misquote or misunderstand, and it's usually nominal Christians or even unbelievers. It says in Acts, and they're referring to Acts 4:32. If you'd ask some of these people, they wouldn't know if it's Ecclesiastes, Acts, or Romans. They don't know. They just heard this. Well, in the beginning, everybody had all things equal. You know, they'll throw that out at you. But, you know, in that time frame, you didn't have somebody, an elite, lording it over you, taking it away from you. What was happening, the Holy Ghost was orchestrating this. They were led by the Spirit so much that the Holy Ghost was getting that into the hands at the right place at the right time. So this was not communism, socialism. That was, so if somebody tries to lay that on you, don't be swayed by that. So equal is not fair. You know, in some respects, you know, all men are created equal, but equal in the realm of rewards is not fair. The Pilgrims proved that. What, Plymouth Rock, I guess. And, you know, the socialistic attitude, it didn't work. And they just starved out. And that would have been the end. So let's turn to Luke 19 and look at a few things here. When he says, my reward is with me in Revelation, that stirs me up, you know. It's not like we're here and this is just day after day. No, there's a future coming. So we want to use our time here wisely. In Luke 19, starting in verse 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So Jesus here is talking about himself. And, you know, he has gone to far country, so to speak. He's gone away. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. And but he is returning. So I believe he's talking about himself here. In a sense, we can look at this. He's coming back to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now some have given this like a military meaning, and that's okay. In other words, occupy, hold the land, be here occupying for Christ till he comes back. And that, to me, I thought about, I have some pieces there that says made in occupied Japan. And I was looking yesterday, I have a lighter, it says Merry Christmas, Japan 1950. I didn't say occupied, but so my dad would have been there then. I'm pretty sure he must have bought that from my mom or my aunt because they smoked. But, you know, talking about the occupation here, the United States after the war, my dad was there to fly out of there to bomb Korea, but occupied Japan, you occupy a nation, you get it back on its feet in the right realm of things, the right constitution. But and so we could look at that. But when I looked up the Greek on this, I believe there's another thing we're looking at here. It said, occupy till I come. The Greek says to busy oneself with, to trade, basically to do business. Take what I've given you, get busy. The Young's literal translation, which I like, it says, do business till I come. So now, again, we're talking about the Father's business. God and sons and daughters. When I say sons, I'm talking about our man. I'm talking about the race of man, men and women, which I believe is the context. But so I'm not criticizing anybody that's taught about occupational forces, but we're looking at this today as doing business till I come. Do business till I come back. Young's literal. So would the Lord tell us to get busy, to not be idle? Yeah, I guess you really hit on that today. We're the church. And we'll get on this a little bit later, but he's building his church. So the Amplified says here, the last part says, buy and sell with these while I go and then return. It says, but his citizens hated him, verse 14, and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. You know, this could be like, you know, look at the rebellion in the age today and what we're dealing with. So he's talking to his servants. This could mean, you know, the populace at large is just rebellious. They're not going to have a God over them. They're the socialist type. I haven't meditated for that fully, but that's something. But in verse 15, it says, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So now he's checking up on things. Is it all right if we're Christians? Somebody said, well, I can do whatever I want. I have my own opinion. Well, not if you're a Christian. You shouldn't be. We have a king in our kingdom. So it's all right if the Lord comes back and he's checking on them. You know, yeah, he set them up here to do business, to trade. He has a right to, yeah. So, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And the word trading there means to thoroughly occupy oneself, to earn in business, gain by trading. You know, this group, I believe, is you're like us, like, you know, I don't think I go a minute without thinking about Jesus. And think about how different we are, though. Think about the people you run into out there, even some Christians. Are they thinking about it? Are they doing this? So, I mean, we have this going about our Father's business on our mind all the time. And I don't mean every minute, doesn't have to be, but everything you do, you're kind of tempering with what does the Word say? What does God want? What's my heart telling me? Because I know, you know this too. If I go against my heart, you know it pretty quick, like immediately. So get lined up, buddy, and let's go. Don't say Romans when it's Revelation. That's what they were occupied with, to thoroughly occupy oneself, to earn in business, to gain by training. Some of them were, like we'll talk about, the one didn't. But then came the first saying, Lord, verse 16, Lord, your pound has gained 10 pounds. And Jesus, and he said unto him, well, you good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. 10 cities. I mean, there's going to be cities out in the ages to come. I don't know if some of you were here, I read that prophecy last week about we'll walk the streets of the planets and the stars. And, you know, God is not so in a box that this is it, you know, you're going to, we might redo Philly, but that, God, I hope so. But there'll be cities like Philadelphia, New York, Los Angeles, Tokyo, Paris, but much nicer. So, and there's going to have to be people that reign over these things. And don't think, well, man, if there's only so many cities, you know, I don't have a chance. Ed'll get a mic. No, think about our universe. And then think of how many universes there are. And think about when he said light be, creation's been going on since then. Light travels the speed of sound. There's a lot out there. He needs us people, his people, faithful people, to rule and reign over cities, what have you. So that be encouraged over that. And you think, oh my gosh, what if he gives me Chicago and that mayor there? No, this won't be that way. You know, what a knucklehead, and what a knucklehead governor, I'll say it publicly. I mean, you talk about messed up. But, you know, in the ages to come, this will be where if you're in charge of, say, Chicago, you'll see something needs to be done there. You'll go in there and the people's going to be glad to see, and you just tweak something. I mean, this is not like heaven's all of a sudden, bing, everything's just glowing. It's glowing, but, you know, there's things to be ruled and reigned over. There's work to be done in the ages to come. So, you know, guess who's going to be governing these people? Reward. That's us. That's his people. And so what determines our place, our faithfulness and our work, how we do these things? We're setting our future now by what we're doing. Our place, our position, our authority now sets what our place, our position, our authority is in the ages to come. Now, some people emphasize grace so much. There's grace teaching. Some of it's very sloppy. To them, it seems like we're just trying to get something by our works. Well, yeah, we are. Reward. I mean, we don't just do it for reward. We do have a heart of serving people. But our performance is getting something. They're in this grace thing like, just grace, don't do anything. Well, you know, yeah, grace. Like we said, our righteousness, our baptism of the Holy Ghost, our being led by the Spirit, our deliverance, our healing is not based on our performance. It's based on the finished work of Jesus. You know, Jesus' work is finished. Yours and mine is not. So we rely on what he did for that. But I mean, we're talking, to be clear, you know this, about a reward is based on our performance, on our works. So, and it's a matter of, it's not who works the hardest. It's not who works the longest. It's not who has the biggest. It's a matter of faithfulness and obedience and, you know, doing your calling and what, being willing to serve. In fact, like we said, what's the word you want to hear for this life? Well done. Well done. And in Matthew's account, in this one it said, in Luke's account it says, well, good servant. In Matthew's account, in Matthew 25:21, it says, you've been well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in very little over a few things. So I am so glad he didn't say you've been faithful. You know, you tried. You only hit 99%, so out of here. No, I'm so glad we don't have to hit every mark every time. Our perfection is in him. But he's, you know, somebody that can't be faithful in a very little isn't even trying. You know, if you just put one foot in front of the other and think, oh, well, I could do that and be a blessing to that church or be a blessing to people, you'll have some reward. So he said, I'm going to make you rule over 10 cities. And these are things that don't decay. These are things that are not aging. These are eternal things that we're setting ourselves up for here, out there, in the ages to come. I mean, this thrills me. It's eternal. And what really thrills me, you know, we're not going to be getting old. We're not going to be tired. We are going to be having a time of our lives. So we might as well act like it now. Yeah. But, you know, you got to get some rest in this life. And then in verse 18, it says, and the second came. The first guy got the ruler over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, your pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. So was that equal? No. But was it fair? You can depend on God being fair. You know, I don't know the difference here, but I don't think this guy will rule over 5 cities is complaining. He's probably jumping for joy, man. I got this. You know, and Pastor alluded to this, and I alluded to it last week. I mean, so I'm not talking about the guy that only got 5, but, you know, maybe the guy coming up who we're going to talk about. So you think it's the same, somebody like you guys are here every faithful every Sunday. You're serving here, greeters, children's ministry, soundboard, worship, what have you, pastor, everything is important. And you've listened to God all your life since you're born again. Yeah, we've missed it some, but we don't question him. We don't just say, no, I'm not going to do that. Or you finally get in line with him, and you're part of what he's doing for decade after decade after decade. Part of that process I read last week was you've been standing against an evil enemy for all these years, an enemy that's thousands of years old, and you stood by faith. So those people, it's not fair if they don't get a better reward than the guy. Maybe they're born again, but this morning they might be getting up soon. They might be in there, you know. Like the guy said last week, you know, we go through Bethel and every Sunday he's washing his car. He's faithful, but you know, I hope he's going to church now. But so the guy that's in bed doesn't want to hear from God. They're saying he's coming back. These people. I remember as a young Christian so excited about the return of Jesus. There was a lot talked about back then. And I'd say this to some Christians, I think. And it's like, they didn't dampen me, though. I didn't just move on. So it's not fair that those guys get any kind of same reward as us. And you can... We're going to see this by scripture to emphasize this in your heart. God is faithful. We can depend on him. He's fair. And it's not all equal in the reward business. So, you know, we had mentioned this about the apostles last week. And I can't think of where it is. I don't have it in my notes. But where they had their mother go and say about getting us to sit on, you know, rule over these things, be the rulers. And the other guys got mad about it, and I said, probably because they didn't think of it first. You know, you want to be jockeying for, but we have our opportunity here. This should excite us because this is like incentive to me. I always talk about fourth grade math. The teacher said, you can go as fast as you want in the class, or you can do it, you can move ahead. Man, we can go as far as we want in this system of God. So this guy's shouting over his 5 cities, and this is where we're headed, the reward. But the other, in verse 20 now, Luke 19:20, another came saying, Lord, behold, here's my pound, or here's your pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. One translation says a handkerchief. So you figure tied up in a knot there. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You take up what you laid not down, reap what you did not sow. So he thinks God is too hard. But in my opinion, he doesn't know God, because verse 21 proves that God's not an austere person. I mean, the master here representing God, Jesus, is not an austere person. And, you know, you don't get stuff without sowing. Maybe we were harvesting off of people that sowed in the past. But so to me, this guy doesn't even know God. But Jesus said, he said in verse 22, and he said unto him, out of your own mouth will I judge you. You wicked servant. And here he says what the guy just said out of his own mouth. You knew that I was an austere man, taking up what I laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury or interest? You couldn't be bothered to walk across there to First Flintstoneville Savings and Loan. You know, you couldn't put that in there and at least get a fraction of 1%, what is it nowadays? You couldn't be bothered with that, you know. So the Lord is not unreasonable of us to expect things, out of us. You know, that it's not like, oh God, go away, just give me the blessing. You know, he can expect things out of us, especially as you grow as Christians and you're in more leadership positions. You know, he has a right to question things and ask what's going on. So to not even try... You know, it says, we'll talk about this in a bit, but, you know, if they're born again, their works are going to go whoosh up in fire because it's not going to last. So, and then in verse 24, and he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And he said, now this is like today's mainstream media reporting on CNN or MSNBC, and they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. You're going to give this guy he'll have 11. This guy, you know, this is like because they're looking at reparations or socialism or communism, and it's what, you know, you see this with the Charlie Kirk thing, how, you know, the feeding of this message of the socialism, communism, all the equality thing. You got to treat the trans. You can't tell them they're out of line with the word. No, you can tell them they're out of line with the word. We need to. And yeah. Yeah. So anyway, they're the crowd. They're watching the news and they're thinking this isn't fair. But is it fair? Sure, it's fair. Because why? Because this guy that got the 10 pounds knows what to do with it. You know, this is not like Lottie Daville. God's looking for results. So, you know, it's totally fair. The guy with the handkerchief or the napkin, he proved he's not going to do anything. And, you know, this brings up a point. There's some people, you could give them another 10,000 years, they're done. They're not going to change. They're not going to repent. They're not going to change their ways. They're just not. I mean, you look at the devil as an example. I think it's Romans. What am I saying? Revelation 20. You know, the Apostle John wrote Romans. No. No, it was Apostle Paul. You know, but the example is somebody that... Yeah, yeah. If you never... You're going to remember this sermon. Tie reward to the R words. Romans and So, but, you know, look at the example. Like, some people won't change. You give them all this time, they still won't change. They're set. And, you know, we got a group at our market sitting in the bistro area that median age is probably 85. And you try and, some of them are born again. And she and I think, come on, talk to these others. You just have all this opportunity. And, you know, so I'm believing God. Give them time and space to repent. But there are some people that just, they're not going to change, period. And the example here, the devil, you know, here he is. He's taken off the scene. An angel comes, puts him in the hole. He's got in there 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a time to think. So what does the devil do? This is how stupid the devil is. You know, it says he's released. He comes out to try and deceive the nations to make war. Hasn't changed a lick. So then what's his future? Lake of fire. And boy, I like to remind him, if I'm under tension or pressure or just problems or oppression, I'll just say, tick-tock, and he knows what I mean. Tick-tock, devil, the time is short. Let's talk about the whole. And I always say, I heard Kenneth Copeland say, I want the same thing. If I don't have another assignment at that time, I want to be whole side when they put you in. And then there's a lake of fire. By that time, honestly, he's gone. You want to get rid of oppression, start talking like that out of your heart. So anyway, I'm going to tell you a little story here. You know, this is about occupying, doing business. And just because I did this, we did this, doesn't mean you should do it. But it's an example. I believe the Lord wants me to share it. I don't sometimes like to share personal things. But maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I was in the scripture. I don't know. I might have even been teaching about it here. But it came on me, because we have businesses, and it came on me, it takes some money, and don't just let it in the bank for, what is it, 0.02% or something. Take some money and invest it. Now, I'm not a stock market guru, but I saw this opportunity to buy data, buy information. And it's not your $189 a year email or newsletter. This is thousands and thousands of dollars a year you pay in, and they give you recommendations, but they train you. And if the more time you have, the more you can spend on it, they train you. You can look at charts and again, I am no expert on this. I know your son does day trading and this and that. I'm not Mr. Expert. I don't have an interest in that. But I just thought, I'm acting on the word. I want to do something better with money to get a better gain. So that was my motivation. Darlene agreed with me. We did it. So that was in September. It started the first year. We invested, and they had different parameters, different things. We did it, didn't really see much gain. So next year you got to renew for another thousands and thousands of dollars. We did that. and just may have been even or not, maybe a little bit. But I thought, well, I totally respect this person that's doing it. He's somebody that knows the market. He worked in the market, and he's smart enough as a young man to realize it's all a lot of contrived things that they're just. But he knew how to analyze and do things and look at it from a true point of view in the market. So I just, the guy called, I said, no, I'm just going to stop here. But we had set our portfolio up in a certain realm, and this one thing he said about buying, and we did. I mean, we had a number of things. So we did, I don't know, time went on, maybe months. And one day I looked at the, I looked online at our portfolio, and I said, I think I yelled out loud, and he said, what's wrong? I said, oh my gosh, this has gone up. I mean, and we bought something, and then it went up, and then it's going to split, which means, you know, that, anyway, long story short, I'm not bragging on me, because I couldn't tell you what to pick tomorrow, except by the Holy Ghost. So, long story short, what we invested, just shy of $10,000, I mean, in paying for the service, I mean, we've... that thing's gone up 350% just on that. I mean, it's just, so here, back when I stopped that after the second year, I said, Lord, I guess I really missed this. I mean, I guess I missed it, but my heart was, I thought was on my heart to do it. So then he said to me, you know, patience, this thing has paid amazingly. Now, could I just lose it all? Could we just lose it all? Yeah. It's like before. We got into cocoa futures one time, $3,000. We were up 26% in 2 weeks. And the guy talked me into just hang on there. And we lost everything. And I said, God, I guess I missed that. He said, no, you just didn't listen to me when to sell. So anyway, out there, and please don't do that, because I told you that. I'm not. Don't go out and do that. You got to be led by the Spirit and say, wasn't my wherewithal, because it surprised the heck out of me when all of a sudden we're really up there on this one thing. I mean, it's just the Holy Ghost, and we gotta pay attention now. So, for some reason he wanted me to interject that. And again, sometimes I don't like doing that, but Matthew 20. It is Matthew, it's not Mark, it's Matthew, it's not Malachi, it's Matthew 20. But I mean, doing business, that is a natural thing, but talking about in the family business, God may say, I want you to volunteer in children's ministry. I want you to do this, do that, you know. That's the family business, investing in that. So, okay, where am I at here? Okay. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, or like an owner, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. So, key word here, agree. And I looked that up. It's to be in harmony, harmonious, to be suitable, to concur. But this is what really got to me, to stipulate by compact, like a Mayflower compact, or like you could say contract, a stipulation by compact. So these guys, I picture these guys, you know, he went out early, it's probably 6 a.m., to get help to go into the vineyard to pick the crop. And when he had agreed with the laborers, it's just think about a labor union type thing. I want to know what I'm getting per hour, and if I pick this type of grape, is that more per hour? And what's my 401k package? And, you know, that's a connotation of this in a way, when he talks like that in agreeing. So then on the next level here, and he went out in verse 3 about the third hour, which I believe was 9 a.m., and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He still needed laborers. And you know, the word says the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. I'm misquoting that. But he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and get this, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. So these guys, went out, taking the guy's word, the owner's word. Maybe they heard this guy's just and fair. He said, whatever's right, I will give you. And the Greek there is a connotation of equitable, innocent, holy, just, righteous. So they got there later. They got into the field later, and whatever's right, they'll do. He'll give them. And again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and he did likewise. And about the 11th hour, which I believe, that's, you know, if they're working a 12-hour day, there's an hour left here, maybe say 5 o'clock, he's out there, found others standing idle, said to them, "Why are you staying here idle?" They say unto him, "Because no man has hired us." And he said to them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that you shall receive." Again, whatever is right, you shall receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, now he's sending the manager out to pay him. But think about this. The owner is going out himself at 6 a.m., 9, noon, 3 and 5 or so, looking to personally pick the ones that are going to bring in the harvest. Think about that in our respect. You know, he's picking people that he can depend on, the faithful, the ones that are going to do the work. But then he sends out his manager to give the pay. And let's see. So when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard says to his steward, "Call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first." And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Or, you know, you could say, okay, you got $100. Now, if they got $100, I'm just using different currency here. Then these guys that were there at 6 a.m., you know, these guys, man, think about what we're going to get. So, but ended up, they got the same thing. But when the first came, they supposed they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny or another $100. They were probably in their mind thinking, okay, $100 for them, and they got there the last hour. And I heard somebody talking about this, saying, you know, in hiring, if they only get there in the last hour, they got to go through HR. They got to get their name tag. They probably picked 2 grapes. But, yeah. So these guys got there at 6 a.m. were thinking, man, I'm into the big bucks now. And then when they received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and you have made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day." And he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong." In my Bible, that "friend" is capitalized. That's a covenant term. "Friend, I do thee no harm. Did you not agree with me for a penny? You didn't trust me. You had to have if I'm interpreting this Greek right, you had to have agree." It says he agreed there. The others he told, "Whatever's right, you'll get." And they took it. Can we assume God's going to do what's right? Think about us coming in and say, if this is the very end of the age, we're in here in the last 15 minutes, and those guys have labored on down through the ages, and here we are. Man, we're going to get reward, and we can jump for joy here. These other guys, in the first part of the verse here, they had to have a contract. Their labor union probably is upset now. So, yeah, they went overtime. They're out in the heat of the day. You know, but, you know, it's like God's, you know, I said, I had so much work come in these past few weeks, and I'm meditating this stuff and all kind of stuff going on, and we're trying to get ready to, we're going on vacation here coming up in the next couple of weeks, and it's like, I don't think God's saying, "Oh, well, give Mike a break," and I'll just, you know, but I believe he is saying to go rest on the vacation now, you know. You know, he's expecting stuff out of us. And like I said, he's training us to deal with different stressful situations, be able to function. Everybody needs that in these days. You know, you can't just float through life eating cake and donuts and expect that your body won't affect you. Yeah. So, anyway, that's just that. I wanted to bring that in here. So, here is Romans. I do have it in my notes. The ones with the contract felt they were owed. They were upset. But Romans 4:4 says, "Now unto him that works is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." You know, okay, you got your contract. You know, you got paid, but I decided to give these other guys. And I thought it was right to forgive them. So, you know, God's God. He's the landowner. He's the owner. So, anyway, there was Romans in my notes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's exactly it. They had faith in the goodness of the owner. We have faith in the goodness of God. He'll do what's right. And it's, you know, it may not be equal But it's right, you know. So next, let's go to Matthew 16. Let's see here. In verse 13, I believe, we'll start here. Everybody okay? Do you need a snack? Oh, you people, you need a snack. No. Well, they do that in kindergarten, I guess. So when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Matthew 16:13, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he said to them, "Some of you say you're John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But who say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you." It's not natural knowledge, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, I love Catholics, but this is not the Catholic Church built upon Peter. You know, this is the rock of revelation knowledge. How do we function? We function by revelation knowledge. So, and upon that revelation, I believe we could say he's building his church. So, the way the church is built is that people that are lost and don't know him are born again. And then people that are born again need to be taught. Think about the hippies, Jesus Revolution. What do they say about 40% stay with it? I mean, but they need to be taught. You can't be out there in your own rebellious life and just walk away. So he's building his church. And like I said last week, we got, you know, there's building materials out there, and we got room in here. You know, we can do that. So if you're talking about reward, if you're in any way helping, you know, greeter, sound system, cleaning the communion elements, helping the children's ministry, leading worship, and nothing is too small. He said he's going to give reward unto the servants, the prophets, the saints, to them that fear their name, small and great. The church can't be built without these things. I mean, pastor can't run here like a chicken with his head cut off. The church, you know, all these things are functional elements. So don't think that it's just a small thing. It's appreciated, by the way, and it is giving you reward. You know, just people think, "I'm just going to grace God. I'm going to hang out at church a while." And like, man, look, God, I'm here. That's not serving God. Coming to church is for your benefit. Serving God is doing something for others. So praise God. So if we want this reward, we want to participate in this building of the church. And I want to look at Ephesians 2 now. I love Ephesians. I'm going through all this. I say, Lord, I love your word. Ephesians 2 and verse 19, it says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." You know, we're part of the household of God. Pardon me?
Members of God's family.
Okay, that's what you see up, members of God's family. "And we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." That was in the song today. I love that. It says the chief cornerstone. That property we sold, it was an 1850 circa stone mill. And the cornerstone was so
solid.
And that wall was just straight as could be. On the other side, buckled a little bit with some previous, but when that cornerstone's right, you build on that thing. This is in the 1850s, stone, and man, these guys had talent. They didn't have quite the technology we do today, but they did it. So Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom we also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We're built together for him to live in us. And so he's building his church. We need to find out why we're born again, get in our place, in our grace. You know, each of us has a thing to do. And, you know, I heard somebody say, if God's called you to take the trash out, and that's what you're called to do, you know, you got reward in that. It's not like, oh, you're just a trash collector. I mean, those are valuable things. So we want to, like we prayed about, looking at our remaining days in the highest and best use, find out what our grace is. We want to hear this. Well done, good and faithful servant. You don't have to be perfect, you know, but if you're faithful in a little, and as you do that, and as like the people we just talked about, whatever, he'll give us whatever is right. You know, don't you think they had more incentive? Man, this is a good guy. I want to serve. I want to do more for him. As opposed to the guys that were murmuring because they had the contract and they got the same. But they got what they agreed to. And they're thinking, I'm not going to serve this guy. But think about the heart of the others, knowing God will do what's right. This changes how you live. This changes how you wake up in the morning. It makes you feel like, you know, this is not just, you know, a lot of boring existence down here. It's not like just killing time. I hate that term. You ever, oh, I can kill some time here. And we, you know, we have a person at the one side of us at the market and the other business. This, maybe you guys know about this more than I do, but the, I don't even know what they call it, the video games, the just billion-dollar business. So this guy's not that one, but next to us, but he's in this business. And he's got this guy that helps him. And this guy that helped him, the young guy, had a heart attack. Just, I don't know, 20s, 30s. I said to him, first we met him, he said, oh, I got to have open heart surgery. So I said, well, we'll pray for him. He's like, you know, I don't think he knew how to take that. But we did. I kept talking to him. Then he had the surgeries out for months, came back and talked to him, and then recently had a heart attack. I'm thinking, oh, boy. But in the meantime, so we go down Tuesdays sometimes setting up, and him and the owner in there. Now, the owner in the morning on a Wednesday, we're at the market, he'll play some Christian music. It's great. But then on a Tuesday, they're playing Highway to Hell. And disgusting. So this kid who had the heart problem, had an open heart, now has another heart attack. I haven't heard it since then, you know. But he's like, and they're just down there. I don't want to criticize, because the owner is a Christian. I know he is. And it's business for him. But the other kid, killing time, knows every game. I mean, I couldn't even tell you first thing about this, but knows everything, every hack for doing something. And that's fine if you want to spend your time that way. But I'm thinking, buddy, Highway to Hell, get off. Spend some time, a little time on something besides amusement. There's something about, it's in Timothy, I think, about in the Amplified, it says, vain amusement in the last days, just amusing yourself with foolishness. You know, and again, I'm not against all that stuff. I wouldn't even know where to begin with that stuff, but, and I don't care to, but just killing time, just, you know. So, all you can do is just say, hi, how you doing, and try and minister a word here and there. Believe me, these people are out there, and you've seen them, and I've seen them. You know, you can't say, well, now the Roman says, you know, you got to work your way in and speak the word through being led. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at this. I'm getting to my closing scriptures. I'm not closing yet, but we're moving in a direction. 1 Corinthians. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So remember, we're talking about building the foundation, a cornerstone here, and he's building his church. So in 1 Corinthians 3, let's start at verse 4. For while one says, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? We don't follow men. We follow the Spirit of God. Yeah, we're part of ministries, but, you know, they're not God. They'll fail us. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Verse 7, so then neither is he that plants anything, nor he that waters, but God gives the increase. Now, I haven't looked at a lot of other translations, but I believe that means basically they're basically the same reward, same one plants, another waters. That's how it has to work. So, I read 7. Now let's look at verse 8. Excuse me. Now he that planted and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. There we have it again. Reward according to your own labor. So our reward is based on our work. We know this. So in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God and are God's husbandry, or his tillage. You are God's building. I've written in there faith house. You know, we're faith house. We're God's building. So, you know, he has chosen. He could have done all this, set all up, and say, watch me. But we are laborers together with God. I'm so glad, aren't you? We get to get in the game. We can be part of this. Like Pastor says, I don't want to just watch a game. I want to be in it. People say, football fan, well, Penn State, this and that. But, you know, I look at myself more. I want to play. So he's chosen to do these things with us, not without us. In verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and other builds thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereon. So Paul was graced with his anointing as an apostle and a foundational doctrine. He laid the foundation. That was his part of this thing. And, you know, they say about, think about some of the European buildings and in the old country, like they said, some of these take hundreds of years to build. So, you know, you're looking at a building where, you know, maybe your great 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 grandfather put the stone down here. Maybe you're finishing this up. I mean, maybe you're going to that same building ages past your family was building upon. This is talking about he laid the foundation, another builds are on. So some of these people in Europe could have been generational builders that worked on the same building. You know, it could have been going by what their grandfather did there in the flooring the woodwork. Did they have carpet then? Rugs. So they laid these things, the foundation. We're entering into the fruits of their labor. So you could say we're harvesting off of what they'd sowed, but we're here to do more, to add to this. You know, we're a blip on the radar. We need to get about what we're called to do, to keep building on these things. We don't need to waste the time. So look at what Peter and John and Paul did, and the apostles here laid this master foundation. We don't just marvel at it. It's like, oh, isn't that nice? Let's go visit. Let's go look at something over in Rome. Let's go. No, let's build upon. I'm talking about the church here. Let's do our part. You know, Isaiah, I just want to, don't turn there. I just want to read this to you. This is again about the cornerstone. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You know, we be about our business quickly, but you don't want to go off half-cocked, scatter-shooting. You want to get the plan so you don't have to tear the... in fact, I remember 9/11 just happened. And they were just putting the brick on our new house. And there was this starting, and I went over to tell them about 9/11. And anyway, they later on they're saying, yeah, that we got to tear that down, start again. We don't want to. It was just a little section, but they had something they had to redo. So we don't want to be just going off scatter shooting that somebody behind us has to come and tear it out and fix it. So another builds are on. That's us today. And in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, you know, it talks about we don't have to lay the foundation again of the New Testament. In Hebrews, I believe it's 6, so that we can go on here if we, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God. These things should, you know, doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection, eternal judgment. He said this will do if God permit. That's Hebrews 6, 1-3. So we don't, that those things are laid. We need to do our part here in just building the church, you know, being part of getting the harvest in. you know, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. We need to be about the Father's business. So, verse 12, if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. There's reward again. If a man's work shall be burned, he'll suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That's the sluggard, born-again Christian sluggard. I think God wanted me to go out and do this, and I think he said to go to church, and maybe I used to janitor, maybe I could sweep the floor, but he never gets to it. So when the time comes, his work's going to be burned up by fire. It says, if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If you put fire to gold or silver or precious stones, most of the time they're going to come out gleaming, better looking better than before. But if your work is wood, hay, and stubble, you're just not doing right, whoosh, you know. So, I think I said it last week, if we've been doing this, if we miss it all our lives and, God's got my attention, well, what can I do? We just prayed this earlier, and you realize that what I've been doing is nothing. Put aside the wood, hay, and stubble. Let's go now. Get the gold and the silver. Let's start now. Get something going. So that's the way it is. Suffer loss. Brother Hagin always said, Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. I'm very conscious of this lately. I want to get it right. You know, you don't want to be so hesitant you miss it, but you want to be, don't ask God to bless your plan all the time, unless you know your plan's from God. Go, like Brother Hagin always said, well, if we like to do this, but if anything, we're going to go your direction, if you show us. A puff of smoke, they'll still be saved because it's their reward is based on the works. But so, did I read 12 and 13? Yeah. Okay. So it's just a bunch of stuff. This stuff that's going up in smoke. It's not the right motive of the heart. It's not the heartfelt doing of something. It's just a bunch of things that maybe they wanted to do in their direction. Think, well, Lord, look at what I've done. No, there it goes. Now, again, he has the right to judge our works like we talked about before. And be encouraged by this. 1 Peter 1:7, talking about the fire coming on these things. Yeah, if he was here this morning. Okay. All right. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried by fire, with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's got the right to apply the fire, to do the test on these things. And if it remains, if it was gold, silver, precious stones, you're going to get reward. And this says, the trial of your faith, he's going to be checking things out, but you can be honored and glorified at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's going to give you reward. He's going to honor you, with your works that stand. So we want to abide the testing of the fire. We don't want to, and don't be concerned about this. Like I said, if you feel like you messed it up all your life, just go on from here. And now, I want to just touch in closing here about, he gives us equal opportunity. So, we're not called to the same thing, but he's given us equal opportunity. He's not going to say, Harriet or Betty, I don't have anything for you to do. Just go over there. We got equal opportunity. Now in Daniel, and you don't have to turn there, but you can if you want. It's Daniel chapter 12. I want to make sure I covered this one point. So you realize we don't want to, we don't, we don't want to just get there and have suffered loss because everything's wood, hay, and stubble. You're getting what I'm saying? You want to do the work, the good, the gold, the silver, the precious stones. Like I said last week, as a young Christian, I was up walking and I came up out of my spirit, Lord, I don't want to just get to heaven. I want your very best. So for that, I can't be just putting the wood and the hay and the stubble on this thing. That's going to be burned up so fast. But in Daniel chapter 12, in verse 2, this is talking about not equality, but fairness of God. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. We're talking about resurrection. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. The stars shine differently. The Amplified I like, it says that teachers and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn away and turn many to righteousness, to uprights, right standing with God, shall give forth light like the stars forever and ever. You know, God told Abraham about looking up to the night sky, that his seed should be like the stars. And the other week Pastor mentioned, the sand was the natural Israel, right? But the star, that's us. Now, did you ever look up? My handle as a CB was Stargazer. Because all my friends said, you're always looking up. My dad was Air Force. He'd hear a sound. That's a B-29. I'm always looking up in the night sky. They call me Stargazer. So, but you look up in the night and you see there's different levels of brightness. The sun and different levels of firmament. So now, let's tie this up in 1 Corinthians 15, if you look there. We don't have to be in competition, is what I'm saying. And you don't look at somebody else and compare. But you do what you're called to do, and it's going to be all right. It's going to be, he'll give you what's just and right, righteous. And the age is to come, man. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians 15, in the 39, that's in the New Covenant. It says, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, other fishes, another birds. So, I mean, this would knock out evolution right there. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. We have a terrestrial body right now. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's the glory of the sun. In other words, the brightness of the sun, the glory of the moon, the glory of the stars. The sun's brightest, and then there's the moon reflecting the sun, and there's stars of different magnitude of glory, of shining. One star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. You know, when the resurrection happens, when these things in the future come about, there's different realms of glory, different realms of reward, different brightness of shining, you could say. One star differs and surpasses another in beauty and brilliance because of distance, because of size maybe. Some are brighter and hotter than others. Lost my place. Yeah, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. We're going to differ in glory like the stars differ. Not equal. Thank God, you know, I don't want to have this guy that's still in bed. And he's getting hungry. He'll be up in a few minutes. Maybe I'll watch something on TV, you know. I don't want, born again, if he's born again. If he's born again, I don't want him shining the same as you or me, you know. That's not right, and that's not God. Don't worry, it's not going to happen. We're not going to get to heaven and God's saying, well, I did like Joseph Stalin after all, you guys. But no, it's not in the Word. Communism and socialism is godless. It's godless. And fortunately, the nation is arising. Our nation is arising. It's worse in Europe, I believe. Our nation's arising to see some of this, but don't expect the enemy to just roll over and say, they really believe this. They really believe that they're themselves. Or else they're the elites. I better not name names, but they're the elites that think, I'm gonna be on top. The heck with them. I'll be on top. So we're gonna differ in glory like the stars. Fair, righteous, So think about Moses when he hung out with God for a few days. They had to put a veil over him because, you know, he was shining. So, and that's not just in the other, on the other side. You know, you can hang out with God and people can see it on you. I mean, I don't know about literally, but they know there's something different about you. So my point is there's different levels of glory. So be incentivized, be happy that you can move and you have, you can go as far as you want. Fourth grade math, you know, that's a code word. You know what I mean by that? So you're not going to be held back by Dodo Larry over there in the corner. We got to hold the whole class back because he can't figure out how to add. And you want to do equations and that. So God is so good to us and he's made a way for us. So I'm going to seal this up, pray over it. So Father God, we thank you for your goodness. I'm asking you to take this word and seal it in our hearts. Lord God, and I believe you, I know you're going to be talking to us because we prayed that in earnest. You're going to show us what's the best way to go, what's not, what's a bad use of our time, what's a waste of our time. Yeah, we're not going to be like somebody on the energy drinks. We, especially during that, we're going to go on vacation. We can rest in you and yet be so, what's the word? We can be so efficient in you because we're led by the most efficient there is, the Holy Ghost. God himself in us. So we can do this, not 100 miles an hour. It's going to be like we're doing that, but yet it's in your rest. We labor to enter into your rest. Oh, we thank you for your goodness today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.